Welcome to Genesis Church. I am so glad that you're gathering with us. I can't think of a better time to gather with us as we slow down and we celebrate 2 years as a church family. And we also look ahead to what I believe is a bright future. And so if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to Mark chapter 8 in the New Testament and Proverbs chapter 29 in the Old Testament. And if you were joining us in person, we would have given you these glasses, and they're in a few different colors. But if you're joining us online, all you need to do is drop us a line, go to genesisal.com/connect, and we will gladly send you a pair. And this is what I want you to do as we begin. I simply want you on the count of three to say the word unfinished. And so you ready? One, two, three, unfinished. Let's try that again. One, two, three, unfinished. I came here today to tell you that I believe the story of Genesis Church is unfinished. Furthermore, I believe God's story in your life is unfinished. You're not dead. God's not done. I really do believe there are greater things still to come. There's this moment in the life of Jesus where he encounters a man while he's traveling, and he provides a miracle for this man. It's found in Mark chapter 8. We dive in verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" That's an important question. He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. He saw everything clearly. This is such an interesting story. Jesus takes a man from a public place into a private place. He spits on him, which is abnormal. He prays over his eyes. He has physical blindness, but now he has physical sight. And I would furthermore say, it's not just physical sight, but now this man has vision. This man has a vision for his life. This man has a vision for Jesus. He sees things in all different ways. His sight has been restored. He asks him, "Do you see?" And I really think this is such an important question. Do we see clearly? Has God given us vision? Because vision is so important. Helen Keller was asked, "What's more difficult than being born blind?" And she said, "Being born with sight, but not having vision." And you have to have vision for your life. God is constantly communicating the power of vision. In Proverbs chapter 29, which is written by Solomon, it's wisdom for the next generation. And it has specific applications for the nation of Israel, but I think it has applications for us too. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and it's translated into English for our benefit. But in Hebrew, there are these word pictures, and the word picture for vision is just to see forward. The word picture for perish is this idea of a woman's hair that has been braided, one of the word pictures, and she takes the braids out, and her hair becomes unraveled. The idea is that when we can't see forward, we lose our way. When we don't have vision, we become unraveled. And I'm really here to tell you that I think God has great vision for our church and for your life, for the future. But let me back up for just a moment, because we are celebrating being 2 years as a church family. It all started in November of 2018. An amazing group of people from Genesis Church and amazing group of people from Salt Church under the loving leadership of Bo Smith and an amazing few people from the surrounding community all gathered with one purpose, and that was to see a life-giving church anchored for the world. A church that would see the broken find healing and the lost find home. A church that would see the discouraged be encouraged. A church that would empower people to take their next step with Jesus and to live out God's mission for their life locally, regionally, and globally. God was actually replanting a church. I'll get to that in a moment. But he also was replanting a pastor. I spent most of my life growing up in Pensacola, Florida. I went to Foley High School, and I left to go to Nyack College and Alliance Theological Seminary in New York. I'm so grateful because I finally finished my last day of school in February of this year. I finished a doctorate program. I'm so grateful for all of your prayers and support and encouragement. It means the world. My daughter, who's six, was talking to my wife at the time, and we were trying to explain what that meant because she was asking some questions. She came to me and she said, "Hey, can you help me with my hand? It's hurting." I said, "I'm sorry, I'm just not that type of doctor." She said, "Well, can you help me with my foot? It's hurting." I said, "I'm not that type of doctor." Later on, "Can you help me with my stomach? It's hurting." I said, "I'm just not that type of doctor." She said, "What kind of doctor are you?" I said, "I'm a doctor for the soul, and you need it." And we laughed that evening. Well, in 2003, in my own story, I had the privilege of being a part of a wonderful team that planted a church in San Diego, California. We were there for 15 years, never thought that I would ever leave. And yet, many years before, really in 1994, it was this church family that opened their doors, Genesis Church, in an earlier iteration of Genesis Church, for the community around to come and to use their facility. They had a gymnasium. I came and played basketball there, and it was there for the first time that I heard the gospel, and I responded to the gospel, and I put my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And that church was the church that really sent me, if you will, to New York, and then allowed me in so many ways through their encouragement to be a part of a team that planted a church in San Diego. And in 2017, my wife and I sensed that God was inviting us to leave San Diego, a healthy, thriving church family, and to come here and to be a part of replanting Genesis Church. And I say replant because this church, in other iterations, had a wonderful, wonderful, thriving church family. But by the time we arrived, this church was extremely struggling. This church, after consulting with the regional advisors, considered what it might even look like to close their doors in the next few years. When we arrived, there was $35,000 in an operational account, a building, and some amazing people who believed that the best days of Genesis Church weren't behind them, but were ahead of them. People like Nate Goodwin. Nate served as an elder of this church, a pastor in this church, a deep friend, a wonderful husband and father, and earlier this year went home to be with the Lord after a long journey with cancer. Nate believed, and I still believe, that God wasn't finished with this church, that the work here was unfinished. And I remember the first day that I arrived here. I can remember my wife wasn't able to join me on that Sunday because she had a migraine. Later, we found out she was pregnant. Some of the best doctors in the world had told us that we couldn't have biological children, and yet I love how God looks at our story and says, "That's unfinished. I'm going to write a new story." And that's exactly what he did. And we now have a wonderful daughter, Margaret, but we also have a wonderful son, McCallan. And that first Sunday, I was honest and I said, "I don't know if we're here to be a part of dying a good death or we're here to be a part of a resurrection story." And little did I know, a few months later, it truly would be the birth of a resurrection story. So many incredible miracles that took place in only God's story, where we were able to move from the location we were at in Foley, and we were able to move to North Gulf Shores to renovate a building to be completely debt-free and have the opportunity in November of 2018 to replant Genesis Church. In 2019, we saw so much momentum and life change and excitement, and we came into 2020 extremely hopeful. But by March in 2020, we realized this was not going to be a normal year. This was going to be a year full of many challenges, many twists and turns. We would have to pivot. We'd have to adapt. And that's exactly what we did. We would have to stay hungry and curious and give our best. Well, this has been a year where I know many pastors have put in their resignation and walked away from their church families. But this has also been a year where God has done extraordinary things even in the midst of the challenges. In the face of the challenges, in the face of the opposition, in the face of unexpected hardship, Genesis Church, you've not only survived, you have advanced. You kept walking in faith. You kept loving people one person at a time. And I can't tell you as your pastor how proud I am of you. And as a result, I want to share with you just a few things that took place in 2020 so far, and we're not finished yet. Because of God's grace and faithfulness, and because of your generosity and faithfulness, we've been able to continue to be a part of an only God story, a story that's unfinished.
Because of God's generosity and faithfulness, and because of your generosity and faithfulness, we have been able to make a lasting difference together in 2020. Here are a few ways we saw God at work. We celebrated 15 professions of faith in Jesus. We were a part of helping plant two churches, one in Leeds, Alabama, and the other in Clara, Alabama. The one in Clara has seen 40 people make first-time professions of faith this year. We also sponsored 35 students to be a part of Emotion Conference, where two students were baptized that weekend. We hosted and encouraged 250 college students this summer from three campuses that spent 8 weeks with us to be trained and empowered to serve Jesus as the next generation of leaders. We invested roughly $30,000 to see the gospel go forward locally, regionally, and globally. We invested in our surrounding community through Genesis Kids Academy that is loving and caring for 50 kids each week. We welcomed the Lindsay family to our church and brought on Josh to lead us in worship and online ministry. We fed the employees of South Baldwin Hospital through a partnership with Culver's to love those on the front lines during COVID. We also renovated 7 rooms with new flooring and paint, as well as renovated a new stage that allows us to be a modern church with historic symbols of our faith. We launched an online service that will become an online campus that is making a big difference in people's lives all over the United States. We have people in multiple states gathering with us each week. We partnered with others to provide 8 semi-truckloads of ice to our community after Hurricane Sally. 2,000 meals to families, we cleaned up almost 100 yards and facilitated a full semi-truck of hurricane relief supplies for our community. And we'll be through our surrounding partnerships providing food for 450 families that make up over 2,000 people in Baldwin County. This Christmas, we are providing gifts to the most diverse population of refugees in the United States, a small area located outside of Atlanta, Georgia, made up of 90 nations. We are providing 50 gifts that we are calling Sparks of Wonder that will include a ukulele, an art kit, and other supplies. It's been exciting to be a part of this journey with you. Thank you so much for your generosity.
I believe that we have a bright future. I believe the work here at Genesis Church, the work in your life, it is unfinished. And so I celebrate that God has given us 2 years as a church family. One of the most important things to me, one of the most important things for me in 2020 is that everyone in our church would be able to clearly communicate what is the mission of this church. What's our why? I've heard someone say, if you have a why, you can work through and withstand pretty much any how. It's so secret that our culture is obsessed with the how. We have books on how to renovate a house, how to lose weight, how to parent a child. There's so many books on how, but there's not a lot of books on why. Seems like we never really talk about the why. I'd like to ask you personally, why are you here on this planet? Why? Not what do you do? Why are you here on this planet? If you're married, why are you married? Not how's your marriage going? Not what does it look like? Why are you married? If you have kids, why are you a parent? If you're working in some place, why do you work where you work? If you're a part of a church, and I hope you're a part of Genesis Church, why are you a part of a church? I think this is so important. And I think these questions really get asked and clearly help us see our mission as a church family. As we look to the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, what Jesus modeled as an example. And that's what our mission statement, if you will, our rallying cry is anchored in. In Matthew's account, we find Jesus in this moment after he's fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. He's calling his first disciples. In Matthew chapter 4, we pick up in verse 18. One day, as Jesus was walking alongside the shore, the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them and said, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and at once followed him. I love this picture because it's simple. Jesus is going to lead. They are to follow. And what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it's impossible to follow Jesus without taking your next steps. At the very end, after the resurrection, Jesus says this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, known as the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Did you catch that? It begins with this promise of power. It ends with the promise of presence. And then notice what takes place. I want you to go. I want you to shape or make disciples. I want you to teach them. I want you to baptize them. I want you to be aware of my presence. All of those things involve next steps. Discipleship is about next steps. Discipleship is about next steps. And everyone has a next step. And every single step in your life matters. Your story is unfinished. You have a next step. And every single step matters. And here's my hope. That if someone was to sit down over coffee and they ask you, "So tell me about your church family," here's how I hope you'd respond. I hope you say, "Well, first off, it's not really my church, it's Jesus's church. I get to be a part of it, and I love that." And I hope you would tell them about our motivation. We are motivated by the glory of God and the good of the community. I hope that you would tell them about our motto, that everyone's welcomed and nobody's perfect and anything's possible. But more than anything else, what I hope you'd be able to communicate is our mission. And what is our mission? In our in-person services, we're giving everyone a napkin, asking them to write this down on a napkin and take it with it. Because if you can't write it down on a napkin, if you can't see it clearly, it's doubtful you'll ever live into it. And here's our mission, real simple, real clear. We want to see all people take their next step with Jesus. That's our mission. To see all people take their next step with Jesus. People who are exploring matters of faith. People who are struggling to trust God. People who are passionate about Jesus. Wherever you're at, our mission is to see all people take their next step with Jesus. That is our mission. And it's something that we are working so diligently for. We think a healthy, life-giving, difference-making church is a church that's all about discipleship, and discipleship is all about taking your next step with Jesus. And so this is something that we're working through as we move forward into our future, because this is Vision Sunday, and so I want to share with you where we're going. And I hope this is helpful. This is really, in some ways, really new for us, and we will revisit this at the end of the year, but this is what we will be working on over this next year. We're working on great ways for you to take your next step, and we're calling it a next step journey. We'll have it available in January online, and you'll be able to go through this, but also 4 times a year in person, we're doing these next step one day journeys. And we're going to kind of walk through 4 unique pathways that as a church family, we're working so hard, so diligently to make sure that we're helping you take your next step. And so here they are, because we think everyone has a next step. We think the next steps are to know God, to love people, to make a difference, and to grow deeper. This is what I'm telling you. If you're new here, this is fantastic to be here. You get an inside look, not just who we are, but where we're going. So I want to unpack this for you. First off, to know God. God's heart for your life is to know him. And I don't mean know about him. I mean know him. To have a relationship with God. That the gospel is the good news. That Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has provided us with a way to know God. And if we don't know God, all of the rest of the steps, they become less significant. They unravel. They really have no foundation. The most important desire is to know God. If you know God, to know God better. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Some of these people have missed the most important thing. What's the most important thing, Paul? He says, they don't know God. It is the first and most important step God has for your life. It's also the most important step that we have as well. We do everything from praying, working hard to prepare our Sunday gatherings, investing financially in resources, being able to be a team that's available. We do all of these things because we want, in a broken world with broken people and broken systems, to point you to Jesus so that you could know God. In the book of Acts, it's really, really clear. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other way. And here's what I even prayed for you today. I prayed for you earlier today, this prayer found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And why? So that you may know him better. That you may know him better. And we think there are great ways to know God. But one of the greatest ways to know God is our Sunday gatherings. And this is one of the things that we work so diligently to prepare, to make sure that, the times when we get to gather as a church family, that they're not distracted, they are focused, that we are pointing you to Jesus. We are helping you know God and know God better. A time where we come together to worship through singing. We open our life to God's word. We respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings. A time where we can invite friends and family and coworkers, and they can hear the good news of Jesus. A time as parents that we model how important Jesus is to our lives and for our kids and our students to be encouraged to take their next step with Jesus. Knowing God is so important to us. That's the reason why in the beginning of 2021, we are launching not just an online service, but having an online campus. We know that there's going to be challenges for several months to come, and we want to do our best to make a difference. And that's the reason why we have an online campus coming where you can engage in some online small groups, and you'll be able to take a next step journey online. We just think it's so important, and we think it's so important for the future because this is a way we're going to be able to accomplish the Great Commission. You know, currently in the world, 50% of the people in our world connect online. And in 2030, the projected rate is 70 to 80% of the world will be connected online. By 2030, the technology will be so good that it'll have automatic abilities to translate. And that means something here from the United States could be translated if it was in Germany, in German, almost automatically and seamlessly for people. Which means we get to take the gospel to the ends of the world. That means things like online can actually be one of the ways that we really do be serious about the Great Commission of taking all of Jesus to all of the world. It's also the reason why we're so passionate about planting churches and replanting churches. And in the early part of 2021, we're going to encourage and help a church plant in Montgomery, Alabama, in an area that has been often overlooked, an area where a young church planter has a heart and a dream to see a life-giving church. We're going to come alongside, and we're going to be a part of encouraging and helping a new church be planted and a new opportunity for people to know God. And so we want to do everything we can to help you take your next step to know God. And you may wonder, okay, well, what's the other next steps? Well, it's a next step to know God. There's a next step to love people. And you know what God loves? God loves people. God is for you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And there are so many ways we get to love people. We think one of the greatest ways we love people is by being in small groups and in community. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives as well. I love that picture. And we're doing everything we can as we move forward in 2021 to help you get involved and engaged in a small group. We think this is an incredible opportunity to love people and be loved by people. I'm in a small group right now. It meets on Monday mornings. There's a total of three of us. We each take 15 minutes to share around a few questions, and then the last 15 minutes, we just pray for each other. Most of this year, we've had to do it through Zoom, and yet it's been meaningful and important, and God's used it so much in my life. I think of so many different people, people in our church like Clarence and Rachel Hager, who are 90. And whenever COVID took place, they have an amazing small group, but they didn't stop. They moved it to Zoom. They started doing it online. And would you know that now it's still meeting online? And they have people from three different states who join in every single week to be a part of loving people through small groups. And we're going to work really, really hard to help you get in a small group this next year. We believe life was never meant to live alone. And so there's a step in knowing God. There's a step in loving people. There's a step to make a difference. That God put you here on this planet for a reason. You get an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. And we think one of the best ways to do that, one of the greatest ways to do that, is through serving. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. When it comes to knowing God, a great way is our Sunday gatherings. When it comes to loving people, a great way is through small groups. And when it comes to making a difference, a great way is to be a part of a small group team or to serve in some way. And we had serve teams that were really doing well prior to COVID. 60% of those who called Genesis Church home were a part of a serve team. And our desire, our hope, we're going to work really hard in 2021 to see that happen again. And we're going to have opportunities for you to take local, regional, and global missions trips in order to serve people and make a difference. It's the reason why we're doing things like Turkey Takeout, where we get to be a part of feeding 451 families, over 2,000 people. And by the way, because of your generosity, financially, we have all the food covered. On November 20th and 21st, if you're in our area and you want to serve, we still have some open slots available, but we're doing it to make a difference. And we will also this Christmas have an opportunity to make a difference. I look forward to sharing more about that. But we make a difference through serving. And we don't just serve locally, we don't just serve regionally, but we are a church that's passionate about taking Jesus to all of the world. That's why we have a global family called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We call it the Alliance. The Alliance is taking all of Jesus to all of the world. The Christian and Missionary Alliance is taking Jesus to places where less than 2% of the people have heard the gospel, severely and significantly underreached areas. And there are incredible stories, but I'm telling you, when it comes to globally, the stories are still unfinished. And we as a church, every time you give here, a portion of what you give is to go forward with global missions. And we want to share with you just one story. There's so many stories I could share with you. But let me just share with you one story that God is writing, and you get to be a part of it. So take a moment and watch this story.
About 80 years ago, there was a place so isolated from the outside world, the people who lived there had never seen a wheel, looked in a mirror, or held a metal object. Then, explorers discovered this secluded location, nestled in the remote central highlands of Papua, or Western New Guinea. It was home to a Stone Age tribe that practiced cannibalism and had worshipped spirits for centuries. After World War II ended, CNMA pioneers began plans to bring the gospel to these people whom time had forgotten. This is that story, and it's all been captured on never-before-seen 16mm film. In 1938, famed explorer Richard Archbold was the first Westerner to discover the Balim Valley, what missionaries would one day call Shangri-La, home to 60,000 Dani people. Archbold published his report in a 1941 issue of National Geographic. The Dani had never had contact with the outside world. Yet with no exposure to 20th century implements, their ingenuity in crafting and wielding tools of stone, wood, and bone to create extensive gardens seen from the air was astonishing. When World War II ended, Alliance pioneers felt they could now begin writing an unfinished chapter in world missions, by taking the good news to the remote Donnie, who had never had the opportunity to hear of Jesus' love for them. However, reaching the Donnie by land wasn't an option. Because their valley home was nearly impenetrable, surrounded by snow-capped mountain peaks and edged with thick jungles and swamps, Alliance missionaries determined the only way to reach them was by air. So began plans to buy a small amphibious plane that could land on the Baleem River that runs along the valley floor. A plane was purchased in 1950, but suffered damages the following year. Finally, in November 1953, a short sea-land amphibious aircraft was purchased in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where it was dedicated and named the Gospel Messenger. After years of planning and many steps of preparation, the historic day for entering the Baleem Valley arrived on April 20th, 1954. Al Lewis and Ed Ulrich piloted the plane, carrying five passengers, including missionaries Einar Michelson and Lloyd Van Stone. Also aboard was a newly converted May couple, Elisa, Ruth, and their baby, Dorcas, whose tribe lived west of the Baleem River. Their presence was hoped to communicate to the Donnie that this wasn't a war party. Lloyd and his wife Doris, along with their team members, had taken up the torch Joffrey laid down with his death during the war, a passion to reach the Donnie with the gospel. Doris describes the anticipation of that first trip.
Lowell Thomas said it was one of the most thrilling stories of modern missions in the 20th century. Not one single person had ever heard the name of Jesus.
Before taking off, Einar said, "I don't know how we'll be received, but there's no turning back now." Lloyd grinned and quoted an armed forces motto, "We have to go in. We don't have to come back." The crew safely landed the plane on the river that day before setting up camp.
They set up a little tiny green tent, and there were two men against all of the valley out to tell men and women who Jesus was.
On the second day, as the party was paddling their rubber boat across the river to higher ground, seven Donnie men approached them, led by the chief, shouting loudly.
And they got over there and they grabbed a hold of their arms and went, like this, and pushed them too.
Einar recognized this as the ceremony of welcome among other New Guinean tribes. He approached the chief, along with several others in the party, repeating the greeting before extending his hand. At that point, the Donnie leader threw his arms around the missionary and broke into tears. The rest of the men lowered their spears. Tribal leaders then invited the newcomers to attend a special welcome feast of roasted pig and sweet potatoes. After their first encounters with the Donnie, one of the Alliance pioneers later wrote, "So, realizing the slow, hard work ahead in months, and even years to come, these missionary heroes of the cross know that only the first chapter of their story has been written."
I love the stories God is writing, and you get to be a part of a church that is a part of God's only story to the nations, taking all of Jesus to all of the world. It's one of the reasons why in January of 2021, we're going to do everything we can to bring on Luke and Shana Camera and their wonderful and amazing family of four, and they will be with us from January till June. And we're going to help love and encourage them and support them and send them to Portugal to take the gospel to a severely unreached area. Now, we're currently looking for a place for them to stay. And so if you have a place or have some type of connections in our area, you could be a part of making a difference in their lives. But I want you to know you're a part of a church that's really serious about making a difference locally, regionally, and globally. And so we have next steps to know God. We have next steps to love people. We have next steps to make a difference. And we have next steps to grow deeper. And one of the best ways we know God is through our Sunday gatherings. One of the great ways that we love people is through small groups. One of the great ways that we make a difference is through serving. And one of the great ways that we grow deeper is through soul care practices. You have a soul, and it's the most important part of you. And we're going to always encourage and work to see you spend time with God privately in prayer through His Word. We're going to work hard to make sure that you embrace your limits and embrace silence, that you honor God with your resources, and that you look to fast throughout the year and receive from God things that He has for you, that you're constantly a part of in a loving and healthy way, engaging in soul care practices. That's why in January we will start our Discover Your One Word and an opportunity to have 21 days of prayer. Why? Because it's so important for us. Not just that we know God, and not just that we love people, and not just that we make a difference, but at the end of the day, that we anchor our life in growing deeper, that God wants to take you deeper and deeper and deeper. We want to be a part of a deeper life with Jesus. I want to end with where we began. This man had an encounter with Jesus in Mark chapter 8, and he was able to see differently. And I'm doing my best to spend time with Jesus and prayerfully look toward a bright future. Several people have asked me, what do you see? I want to share with you as we end. We're here in November of 2020. We're celebrating 2 years as a church family. What do I see when it comes to November of 2025? What do I see in the next 5 years? I'll just share with you what I've been dreaming and what I've been seeing. I see a life-giving church of well over 500 people online and on site, with 60% of those people engaged in small groups and engaged in serve teams, a fully supported staff, a church that has the privilege of seeing 100 salvations, 100 baptisms, 500 people who went through our Next Step one-day journeys. I see a church that's a part of planting 3 campuses and actively investing and encouraging 5 regional plants or replants. I see a church that starts a worship school that encourages and empowers the next generation of worship leaders. I see a church where everyone in our church either goes on a missions trip or financially supports someone going on a mission trip at least once in 5 years. I see a church that establishes in the back property that we have a 4 tiny homes that we call mission villages, and we allow people to vacation on purpose. But the purpose of those is to provide much needed rest for missionaries and nonprofit workers and pastors and leaders. I see a church that establishes a marriage and family counseling center for mental health, that we meet the needs of not just our community, but it is a regional presence as well. We already, by the way, have a space. We're just looking for someone to lead that and funds to support that. I see a church that invests in loving and serving our community through a life-giving preschool that by the time we reach November of 2025, from this day right now, that we will have invested in 250 kids. I see a church that hosts and sends 1,000 college students into the world through our partnership with Student Mobilization during the summers of 2020 to 2025. I see a church that in 2025 is able to live off of 70% of what they bring in and give away 30% of what they bring in as a life-giving legacy of generosity. I see a church that's known in our community not by what we want from them, but by being a church that's ultimately for them. I see a church that invests in the next generation of world changers through Genesis Family Ministry. This is the church I see. This is the reason why I believe that the future is bright and the best is yet to come. This is why I believe that the work at Genesis Church is unfinished. And I believe the work in your life is unfinished. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for 2 years. We're here because of your generosity and your grace and your faithfulness, and we recognize that. We honor and love you. It's your mercy, your steadfastness, your favor that allows us to be a church. It's your church. All we want to do is serve and be a part of what you're doing in our world. And I thank you for our future. I believe that our future is bright. I believe that we have a lot to look forward to. But we want your leadership in our lives. We want to continue to take our next step with you. And would you help us? Would you lead us? Whether our next step is to know you, whether our next step is to love people or make a difference or grow deeper, that we'd be really serious about taking our next step. We thank you for 2020, and we give our future over to you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.